going on, people? This is Lecrae.
Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Kel Mitchell.
Picky Wine is that would be me.
Yo, what's up, everybody? It's your boy, Brian Hooks.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Dr. Dorinda Clark Cole.
Yo, what up, y'all? It's your boy, Kev, on stage.
Yo, what's up? This is Doug E. Fresh.
What up? It's DJ Emmy for that Breakfast Club.
What's up, everybody? It's Mr. Talkbox.
Hello there. This is Kim Burrell.
Yo, what's up, everybody? This is Cardi Cortez.
Well, hello there. I am Jacqueline Carr.
Good afternoon. It's Jess with the Mess.
Hey, everyone. This is Faith Jesse.
My name is Kid from Kid and Play.
Peace to the planet. Charlemagne the God here.
What's up, y'all? Las Vegas. It's Said Entertainer. I want you to download and tune into the greatest gospel station in the Las Vegas area.
It's the number one gospel station.
Number one gospel station.
Number one gospel radio.
Check it out. I need you to do me a favor. I need you to go download Anointed Radio app.
From either the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
For 24/7 gospel.
Make sure to check out their website at anointedradionetwork.com.
Music for the soul, music for your spirit, music to lift your heart.
That soul food for your body, that energy for your spirit.
Gospel in the morning, gospel for lunch, gospel at dinner, and you go to sleep. You know what? Guess what? You're dreaming about some gospel.
Sometimes these are the songs that really uplift us and get us through some of the tough times.
Salute Pastor J. Calhoun and Anointed Radio.
Know your boy wouldn't steer you wrong. Go listen right now. You feel me?
Check them out without no doubt, because gospel is what it's all about.
Hey, 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 everybody. This is Pastor Jay. And like always, we're going to start off in normal fashion. And normal fashion is with a scripture and prayer. And the scripture we're coming out of today is Hebrews 13 and 16. And it says, "And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for such sacrifices God is pleased. When you serve others, you please God." Say that one more time. When you serve others, you please God. You have to remember that Christianity has nothing to do with selfishness. A lot of people have transpired and made it about selfishness, but that's not what Christianity is about. God rather you serve than to be served, for you to be able to help. God bless you with some money. He wants you to help somebody with it. Because you were the one praying, well, God, if you ever gave me this much money, I wanted to help this person. Well, when he gives it to you, you got to hold up your end of the bargain and help somebody else. Can you reach out and help somebody else? You got a big old house. You remember sleeping on the couch. And now that you have a big house, you can't let nobody sleep on your couch. Just saying. It's not about being selfish. It's about being able to serve others and help others and be able to bring them to God, because when you bring them to God, they could be able to be changed. That's the only person that could change somebody is Jesus. Repeat after me. I can't change nobody but myself. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just thank you for everything. God, we just ask you to just be able to bless everyone under the sound of my voice. Let's be able to expand and to explore into different territories, enlarge our territory to be able to go to new airwaves, to new people, to new audiences, to new airwaves in different platforms. Let us be able to get to people that need to hear the word that you are presenting tonight, God. God, we just ask you, let us reach the unreachable, teach the unteachable, and even touch somebody with the hardest heart so they can say, what can I do to be saved? And God, we just ask you to bless everybody under the sound of my voice, that you can plant the seed, or you can water a seed, or you could be able to reestablish the connection between somebody tonight that's under the sound of my voice, to be able to hear from you again, to be able to rekindle that fire between you and them, God, so they can see a clearer picture and the evidence of you in their life. God, we just thank you, God, for everything that you're doing. God, we thank you for who you are and what you've done and how you've provided. And God, we ask you to continue to cover us, continue to help us, continue to elevate us to higher heights. And we say that all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 Hey, everybody, it's Pastor Jay, and like always, I got something to say. What I got to say is this. Please share, like, subscribe, all my people on YouTube, share and share that. Push that like button so you can get all updates. All my Facebook people, share, like, add, tag somebody, share to groups, all those great things. And all of my Twitch people, what's up, y'all? We probably the most saved thing on Twitch. But I'm glad you're watching. Amen. So make sure that you come on in, get comfortable, share with your people, watch it, like, you know, the algorithm likes some likes. So go ahead and make sure that you push the like button a few times. And let's get together. We have our interview segment. If you missed it, all last month of June, we had a teaching segment. We was teaching a lot of things. So if you missed it, just go to, guess what? Roku. Or you could go to Anointed Radio app, but you could go to your Roku TV and go ahead and click Anointed Radio app, just like Netflix or Hulu, but just go to the Anointed Radio app and you could watch all of our previous shows there on the Roku network. And if you have YouTube, you can watch it there and download the Anointed Radio app for 24-hour gospel. And you can listen to all previous shows on there as well. So we got you. You might miss it. Or you might miss some of it, but we got avenues for you to be able to go rewatch it. Amen. Amen. With that, you can follow me at Anointed Jaylon. I know everybody can read, and I'm going to just point it out there on my screen right there on the bottom left. You could be able to see the Anointed Jaylon. You can follow me on all social media platforms at Anointed Jaylon. And if you want to see any of my music, you could go check out my music on all music streaming platforms. And make sure you go check out my new book, Creo Tea Remedies by Jaylon Calhoun. Definitely check it out, Amazon and all selling places where you could get those books. Shout outs to Forward Book Publishing for getting my book out there. I at first it was just a fragment of my imagination in 2020 to read an herbal tea book remedy. But now it's in fruition, and it wouldn't happen without Forward Books. So definitely go check out my book, Creo Tea Remedies, by myself, Jaylon Calhoun. With that, we're going to go ahead and bring up my lovely co-hosts, the Lady Squad, the Anointed Radioettes, because we have no other males on this show. We're going to change that. And I still am looking for a male host. Amen. Amen. We've got some entries, but I need a male host. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. That's anointed. I got a relationship with Jesus. Yes, Lord. And definitely email us at lvanointedradio with a call, something. Show me a segment. Show me what you do and social media and all that good stuff. Because if you have a private life and you want to be in a public setting, you won't qualify. Just be honest. So with that being, we're going to go ahead and bring up Miss Prophetess Tish. She's been gone on sabbatical. Thank God she came back. We got Miss Prophetess Tish. We have the lovely Simi So-So Real. And then we have our newest addition, Miss Marvette, the artist, a.k.a. MTA. You know what I'm saying? Duval County.
Yeah. It's me.
All right, y'all. Tell everybody where they can find you.
First of all, I found my book. I got my book. Hey. Oh, Pastor Jake, congratulations. Congratulations. I am looking forward to trying some of these remedies in here. So I just want to give you a quick shout out or whatever, but I do have my book. It stays right here with me. So, but I am Prophetess Tishier. You can find me on Instagram at fervently.creations. You can find me as well on my website, which is www.fervently.creations.com. Also, check me out on Facebook at Tishier. However, starting next Saturday, I will be back in them clubhouse streets in the Fervently Creations house. Make sure you check me out on that as we begin to do our expository teaching where we actually go through and exegete the word. So, hey, looking forward to seeing y'all in the room on Clubhouse.
Hey, this is your girl, Simi So Real, and you can find me on Facebook, Tick to the Talk, and Instagram. Next week, I have some incredible things happening. Well, I just learned Anointed Radio Network will be doing some things at the Stellar Interviews, but we also have a couple of places we'll be. One of those will be, I will be doing a big choir function for all the Las Vegas choirs. I will be an MC there. And again, you can find me on social media, Instagram, Facebook, Tick to the Top, and Twitter, but we not with Twitter right now. That's all I'm going to say. To you, MTA.
So what's happening?
Yeah, what's expound on that? Anointed Radio ain't on TikTok either. If you hadn't known, there's been a big attack against the Christian community on Twitter where they have suspended. They suspended it. Most Christian accounts. With that being said, back to you, MTA.
So hi, you guys. This is Marvette the Artist, your favorite cousin on your dead side. Listen, you can follow me on Facebook, Psalmist MTA. You can follow me on Instagram. They shooting outside, and it's not the fourth anymore. But you can find me on Instagram, Marvette the Artist 22. Marvette the Artist 22 and TikTok, Marvette the Artist. And you also can go look me up on all digital platforms to find my music, my latest single, Faith, that is on. Listen, y'all want to get that. It's a groove. It's a soul. It's R&B. It's loving Jesus. Amen. And they shooting. I'm for the duck inside the house.
You should get low if that tree is shooting.
Can y'all hear it?
Yeah, I heard something. I was acting like I did it because I'm good at pretending, but I was like,
low crawl. Just take your computer and then low crawl.
Right, just slide down very slowly.
It's been violent since Juneteenth. It's been violent for us, for our people. Ever since Juneteenth, there's been some surprise sneak attacks.
We got a little Wayne anointing. You know, we don't do that because we bust first.
Sister. Wow.
I'm gonna need you to go to the tub, sister, and slide down with your computer. Sister, I need you to go to the tub. I need you to hit the bathtub.
So that's what Duval County means. That we hearing what Duval County means now, huh?
Yes. This is typical though. This normal.
Oh. Oh, okay. Everybody pray and reach out to MTA in Jesus' name to get a hedge of protection
around
her house in Jesus' name, because they shooting.
Cover the parameters.
Somebody said in the comments, was that a bomb? That's what it sound like. So I'm gonna pray that it's just fireworks that they got left over.
That's my automatics over there. Yeah, my automatic.
That's my.
But you know what? Seriously, I've been seeing a lot of stuff on social media where they was like, "What are they putting in these fireworks this year?" Like these fireworks this year have been louder, and they have been like, "Yeah, I don't know what they doing with these fireworks these days." But they
but the fourth was yesterday. Can we go sit down somewhere?
Yeah, they started on the first, baby.
I know they started June 30th.
Lord have mercy. That's the
I'm
South.
I'm so tired of my cousins just shooting fireworks whenever they feel like it, instead of the designated times and dates. My cousins just do whatever they want to do.
Amen. So we're gonna go ahead and bring up our guests. Marvette is quite covered in the blood, amen, of Jesus, and she is going to be fine. We're going to go ahead and bring up our guest, Miss Suzanne Hambricks, everybody.
Let go.
Miss Suzanne, everybody. See, go from gunshots to doing a Tootsie Roll, amen. So, with that, Miss Suzanne, tell everybody where they can find you and all your social media handles, websites, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, so you can find me, Suzanne Hambrick, on Facebook. You can also find me on Instagram under the Women Inclusion Project. So that's at WIP, WIP_7. And you can also find me on the LinkedIn under Suzanne Hambrick.
Amen. Make sure you guys go and follow her. Check her out. Check her out while she's up on the interview so you can see a little more of her background. We're going to go and dig deep into her background. But go ahead and go check her out. Give her a follow. Check out her website, all those good things, and see what she's all about, guys, because she's doing some great things out there. So we're going to go into updates real quick. We have a lot of updates happening. Anointed Radio is doing a lot, and it's all happening at the same time. But we could talk about the first thing. Stellar Weekend is next week. And with Stellar Weekend, we have the honors. It's going to be at the cafe. Shout out to Mr. Carlos out of Memphis. He's having his event that Anointed Radio is one of the sponsors for, and they'll be honoring Travis Green, Shirley Caesar. We're going to be posting all of the flyers. There's 100 tickets left. Amen. See, even the people outside of Marvette's house want to know about it. There's 100 tickets left. So definitely go ahead and go get your ticket. And if you did not know, Anointed Radio will be on the red carpet of the Stellar Awards, everybody. We will be interviewing. I just got confirmation that me and Miss Simi will go down there nicely dressed and not loose fitted so that we're not passing out of heat stroke. And we're going to be interviewing these great artists that are nominated. Shout out to Miss Lena Bird Miles, y'all. Bay Area's very own. It's good to see somebody from the Bay get nominated for an award, and shout out for her song hit number one as well. So with that, there's a lot of people that is nominated for awards. Stellar Weekend is going crazy. There's a lot of events. There's Choir Fest. There's the Bowling Alley. There's Jordans and Jerseys. There's a whole lot of things happening for Stellar Weekend. Pick one, go to it, and support your ministry. The other thing that we have on the sports side, if you didn't know, we have a whole sports team, and they're working and doing their due diligence. Their show is exclusive to our Roku channel, where you can watch them on our Roku TV, Anointed RadioNetwork.com, or not .com, but Anointed Radio Network app, and you can watch all of our sports updates. They will be at the All-Star Game, the WNBA All-Star Game, where they'll be covering over that game. I will actually be going to NBAcom. This is the first ever NBAcom that's coming here to Las Vegas to bring all the new drafted basketball players before Summer League, and then they're going to go straight into Summer League. So there's so much stuff happening in Las Vegas. Teams, we have the athletics coming. We have a whole lot of things that's coming here into the city, so make sure you stay tuned to Anointed Radio. We'll always have your updates. Make sure you share, like, subscribe, and all of those good things. Amen. With that, we're going to go into what Prophetess Tish asked for. We're going into Have You Ever.
Oh, Lord.
Amen.
That's the Brian McKnight. Okay, never mind.
Have you ever crossed my mind? Exactly. Have you ever crossed my mind? Anytime. Just saying. So, first question is this. Have you ever traveled to a foreign country?
Yes.
No. Yeah, I have. Alabama. I'm just joking.
Really? Suzanne.
I felt she talked about Alabama. I was going to say Jacksonville, Florida, where I saw dolphins and the alligator man.
I don't know. We needed to plan a girls' trip, but then she said Alabama.
It was just a joke. I would love to play the trip with you guys.
She was joking. I was just joking, y'all.
I'm being traumatized with all this.
You became my second favorite cousin just then.
On your daddy's side.
On my daddy's side.
I apologize.
Amen.
I'm being traumatized, y'all. It's the noise.
Okay. So, next question. Have you ever tried an extreme sport or activity?
What's extreme sports?
Yeah.
I mean, what would you be categorized in that? Like rock climbing or something?
Yeah. Sure.
That's not a sport.
It's kind of like extreme. You over there, you know that you haven't done any workout in about 2 years, and you trying to climb the rocks, go up the wall with the little bungee cord around you. So that's extreme.
Okay, so I did the mountain wall. Mm-hmm.
I believe the military is a extreme sport.
Facts. I agree on that one. I'll second that.
I mean, if you dated a some type of thug that wasn't saved, but act like he was saved, that's an extreme sport. Right. You could have got victimized, had to dodge bullets and climb over walls and under cars. I think that might have qualified.
And here's another one. Here's another one. If you was married to a deacon.
Girl, I know that's right. That would be a yes for us. That's a yes.
Amen. 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 Next question. Have you ever met a celebrity or public figure in person?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Have you ever performed on stage in front of a large audience?
Yes. It was a different type of performing, but yes, that was in.
You got to hurry up and go past that next one.
Right. You got to get the book to understand. It's in the book.
I got to get that book. I got to get that book. And after today, I'm going to need to get Creole teas too.
It's in the book. Audience, she was. Woo. Never mind. Have you ever volunteered for a charitable organization?
Yeah.
Yes.
A charitable organization.
I would just say
it,
but yeah, okay.
All right.
Donated.
No, volunteered.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Have you ever gone on a spontaneous road trip with friends or family?
No, yes. My trip's been planned.
Mm-mm. What about you, Sister Suzanne?
I have.
That's dope.
She knows a nice, kind people. That's going to be a negative for me. I'm not getting on the road with these people. We're going to get on the road. This ain't the road of the masses.
All right. Have you ever overcame a fear or phobia?
Yes.
All right. That was nice. Have you ever witnessed a natural phenomena like a solar eclipse or a meteor shower?
I thought you were going to say giving birth.
I concur with that because it's something to behold, man.
They are the sisters is telling the truth on that.
So, yeah.
Girl.
Natural phenomena. Amen.
Have you ever all over there in Duval?
They still celebrating, y'all. They love the 4th of July.
Yeah.
Freedom.
They still
freedom ring.
Girl. Amen. Have you ever learned to play a musical instrument?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, what you got?
Hey, fun fact, me and Suzanne was in a band together.
I know how to play the drums a little bit.
I know how to play the tambourine.
On now. I'm an expert in that, honey. Yeah. I know how to do it on the elbows and everything.
That's what I'm saying.
What's next? You play with the washboard too? You look like you on that Vicky music video. Long as I got King G. All right, last one. Have you ever participated in a marathon or any athletic competition?
PT test.
No, because you didn't pass tape.
Clinch you my pearls.
Help us, Lord.
I only said that because I didn't pass tape either. So,
okay.
That doesn't mean it's completed. You got to pass tape.
You got to pass tape.
Yeah.
I'm not playing kickball.
That's a serious coordinated sport right there.
It is. You can kick too hard and fall.
Mm-hmm. Or the ball will go under your foot and go the other way.
Exactly.
Black Friday shopping, you got to do like galactic gladiator fighting.
You got to do the triathlon trying to get those deals on Black Friday.
You got to run and then you got to tackle somebody. And if it's in Duval, you got to have a bulletproof vest because they shoot at you.
Yeah, you better know it. A helmet.
Not a helmet.
Yeah, you got to have
a helmet.
You have to wear the helmet on your head because they be wanting to headbutt you trying to get to the TV. You got to be prepared.
The struggle in Duval.
The struggle. I love my city, though.
Dude, you love your city.
I love my city.
Now don't do no more gun things because it's already going off in your background.
Let me tell you something. We not doing a girls trip out there. We are not doing a girls trip out there.
You can still come out here. You can go to the
No, I'm not.
See two dolphins.
I'm the pistol calling creeper. You can't do that. Because I'm going to shoot back. And y'all be like, what's she shooting at? I'm like, I'm just shooting in the direction it's going.
And I'm just trying to spare my joints. I'm just trying to make sure my joints and my bones and ligaments is good. I don't have time for all this. We going to bust. I'm going to bust back. I got to smoke. I don't got time for that anymore. I done been delivered from a lot of things.
You're going to be safe and secured here.
So that was the have you ever. That was have you ever. Secure and have you ever? Amen. So we're gonna go ahead and go in the interview phase. Not acting up. See, Prophet Tish come back first day and she's just acting up.
We have waited for her to come back to act up on this level.
I'm saying I missed you, y'all, last week.
We missed you. We missed everybody. Are we so happy? We got a full house on today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
That was one of my favorite shows. Full House.
We do need some males on here.
Lord Jesus. Amen.
What if not gonna be like looking off on the camera, watching a basketball game in the background, and then come back on? Oh, like I was saying. What were you saying? You were watching basketball in the background.
Amen. So,
Miss Suzanne, how are you?
Miss Suzanne, we're gonna go ahead and go into the interview. The first question is: introduce everybody to. Where is your hometown and where do you reside now?
So I'm originally from Huntsville, Alabama. So shout out to all the people from Huntsville.
Okay.
But I currently live in Washington, D.C.
Okay. Dope.
Okay. DMV area. Amen.
Yeah.
So you're going to skip over Alabama, Roll Tide, whatever.
Go ahead. I said Alabama.
No, I'm talking about Jay. Jay, he went straight to DMV. He didn't say nothing about Bama. But thank you. Roll Tide. There we go.
That's me. Roll Hello. Yeah, I'm all for you guys.
It's a thing. I feel like
back.
Alabama, you got to either say Roll Tide or War Eagle. Oh,
like, you have to pick a side, like from birth. Like, it's like, and this your name, then what team you going on?
Yeah.
Our ratings are definitely going to go up this show with all the gunshots. Amen. Right. So, with that, Marvette, are you okay?
I'm fine. I'm pulling up.
I got my phone to call 911 if something happened because this is outrageous. Just get on the phone right now. I need somebody over there in Duval, whatever, Florida, in the parameters right away.
We need to put together a search and rescue mission.
I just feel like Marvette picked that place on Craigslist that said $500 for a month type of rent, and then they was like, why is it $500? You'll see.
Listen, you know what? That's not what she did. This is all over y'all. This is all over America. It don't worry with you. This is all over America. This inflation,
because I'm in a government, nice
business, Sarah. Bad relationships got people bussing.
Somebody that ate the leftovers and they made it.
I told you to make me a fresh meal when I get off of home from work.
Ain't no more ribs, so he mad.
Okay. I told y'all what was gonna happen if y'all ate that last rib.
So, Miss Suzanne, let's go ahead and talk more about you. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and tell the audience about what you do and you know, more about you.
Well, once again, I'm from Huntsville, Alabama. I was born and raised there. I spent 21 years active duty military in the Air Force, and I retired in September of last year. So I transitioned out of the Air Force, still in transition, still very much transitioning from military life into the civilian world. But in that process, I started the Women Inclusion Project, and that focused on assessing and helping women get resources that they need. So that's whether we're talking about mental health opportunities for us to come in and discuss some things, whether we're giving out feminine care products to schools, local schools, starting from elementary to middle school, because I don't know if you guys know, there is a shortage. So when those young girls start their, you know, that their cycle, they're running into situations where the schools do not have the adequate funding to have proper care products there. And then whether we're giving luggage over to the foster care system, we did that in Alexandria, Virginia. And then we also did that in Washington, D.C. with the help of Tiffany Haddish. So we are focused on making sure that we get resources to women in every possible way. And then on continuing my focus on transitioning from the service to civilian life and just finding my way, trusting God in the process.
That's dope.
That's wonderful. What was your passion behind WIP? What was it that drove you to start this nonprofit, to start this vision? What was the passion behind it?
Yeah, it started with my grandmother. She was a server, you know, she just had a servant heart. And when you would come into her place, she just served our community. She had 11 kids. So if you can imagine having 11 kids and having the ability to just to serve each one, and for us as her grandkids to have interaction with her, just watch her give. So it started from wanting to emulate the women I saw in my life, where they just made sure that we were taken care of, we had opportunities. So that's why it's called Women Inclusion. Not that we're just solely focused on women, but we're women focused on making sure everyone is included.
That's dope.
Do you have any special partnerships, or do you have anything that you do in particularly for single mothers?
So right now we don't have anything specific for single mothers because right now the resources are for everyone. So if you don't have care, or if you have issues with your foster care kids, that whether you're single or not, sorry, my sister is walking behind us, y'all. Have you seen it? Okay. But whether, I think our focus is resource in general. I think women, and here's the thing, there are a lot of nonprofits out there. So we're not duplicating the wheel. We're connecting women to those resources that already exist as well. So that was the biggest thing for our nonprofit. We didn't want to duplicate. We wanted to make sure that we connect people and made sure that they were connected to the right resources that is solely focused on that. Oh, you're solely focused on single care, single parents, then you need to talk to this one instead of going to a different organization that you have to go through a wheel to get to just the one thing you need. So we try to connect people directly to the source of what they need.
That's dope. So do y'all do like community events, like out in the public? Like, do y'all do big events come in the community?
So we didn't, because we started in during COVID. So all of our events are about getting resources, products. So the next event that we have is in August, and we're partnered with the charter schools here in DC, where we're giving them feminine care products. And then right now, another focus is us focusing on a documentary that we're building for A Woman Heard Is a Woman Believed. So we have two major events going on, and that's right now where our focus is.
Nope.
I want to ask the question. I know that during the pandemic, there was a shortage of milk for babies, and there also was a shortage of like diapers and things like that. Have you received a lot of contacts for those type of resources, even though it's post-pandemic, so to speak?
No, we didn't personally receive that. We received more of the mental health aspects. Mm-hmm. That was really kind of the conversation. People wanted to be connected. People wanted to be heard. Those were the things that we experienced during the during COVID, the pandemic.
You did a lot with the suitcases. Can you give us the understanding or the background with the suitcases? That's the one where Tiffany Haddish helped out with as well, right?
Yeah. So we partnered with She's Ready Foundation, but it started off interesting. So we launched the Women Inclusion Project 2021, and it was in March. And March is Foster Care Awareness Month. So we wanted to make sure that we aligned ourselves with that month. And we thought about a lot of celebrities. We were like, we're going to reach out to everyone. And God just put in my spirit, reach out to Tiffany Haddish. Now, mind you, she don't know me. She's never heard me. She's never talked to me. We are not. I think at that point we had 10 followers. Let me be very clear. So I shot an email to her. I shot an email to her, her foundation, She's Ready Foundation. I listed out what we were about. I told her what we were trying to do. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to trust God and let it go. And that was a Tuesday. So that Wednesday we got contacted by She's Ready Foundation and they were like, hey, we want to talk to you. And I'm like, okay. So when they called, the president called in of She's Ready Foundation, and she wanted to have a discussion about how can we help. Tiffany saw your email, and she wants to support you. So maybe a couple of months later in June, she had delivered 100 suitcases, and 50 of those suitcases went to the Children of Arlington, which the president of She's Ready Foundation came down and presented with us. And then the other 50 the next year went to the Washington, D.C. foster care system. So we got started because Tiffany Haddish believed in our vision. She saw us, she read about us, and she said, hey, I want to support you. And I think that changed because we went from trying to be so focused on social media to be focused on community.
That's awesome. Because a lot of times foster care, they're going from one home to the next with garbage bags.
Yeah.
So y'all was able to provide them with suitcases to be able to go and transition to their next home or to where they. And so that's awesome because that also brings another level of just pain to just knowing that all your stuff is just in a garbage bag or some grocery bags or whatever. And so to be able to provide them with suitcases, that was awesome. That was amazing.
Yeah. It's a self-worth thing. Self-worth starts very young. So if I start attaching my self-worth to garbage bags, then as an adult, where is my self-worth at that point? You know, so it was important for us to start at different levels where we could intercede and make the greatest impact, and not the level of which we'll be visually seen. We didn't care about that. We still don't. We really care about, hey, how can we get resources to our community? And if they don't know about us, that's okay, because the people are being served.
So quick question. I remember working with a lady back in the day, name is Kimberly Bryant. She's the CEO of Black Girl Code. And she had a nonprofit where she helped a lot of women because there's a diversity gap in technology for women. So I was wondering, are you planning to help those different type of initiatives like women in tech and those different areas that the next generation, the young women that's coming up, we'll need those resources, need those trainings, need those different things to be able to flourish.
Yeah, right now we are in a research mode. So we learned that we can continue on doing events, or we can actually start attacking the things that are really going on in our community. So yes, technology is one of the things that we want to get more connected to, but we really need to get connected more to financial literacy. Those really are the things that we need to be focused on and bringing in our community. And let me put it to you this way. If you go to a HBCU, right, I want to just break away and I'm going to circle back around because it's going to make sense. Start researching how many public administration degrees are in our HBCUs, and you'll start seeing very little. There are places where we have opportunities in our HBCUs, but the curriculum is not set for us to be operating leadership. We have STEM, and you hear STEM all the time. It's preached. I mean, we all know we need to get into STEM, but we all also know that we need to get more into our political positions so we can start affecting policy. So I just need to make sure that there's places for that. And I don't want to reinvent the wheel. We want to make sure we have the right research going into the right places so we can advocate for places we're not in yet. And we're not heavily involved in the public policy sector, as you see the policies that are being written away from us because our voices aren't there. So right now, that is a possibility. But right now, we're trying to find the gaps to create opportunities in the places we don't exist.
I like it.
I love that. And so you find yourself, and you've done the research to say, this is why we continue to bridge the gap with connecting women to the resources, we also want to prioritize where WIP is heading. And one of the priorities for WIP is the financial literacy and placing women in these key positions to change policies that are not, we're not benefiting from, or we're not even considered at the table. And I think that speaks volumes. That's just wonderful.
That's dope.
That's really
dope. Mm-hmm. I have to ask, what is your 2024, I guess you could say, goal for the Women Inclusive Project?
Right now, we have a project that we're doing, and my goal is to complete that. And in that project, in that documentary, our goal is to make sure that we are making sure that women's voices are heard and women of color's voices are heard in their narrative, in their story, because there is a narrative that is surrounding the woman of color, but is not ours. It's a propaganda narrative. It's a, hey, we're this and we're that. But when you start peeling back the layers of onions and you start listening to us tell our story, it's a different way we tell it. So my focus for the organization is to capture those voices, create a sound, one sound, that when we present out, people can understand and hear women of color. I know that may sound like a lot, or it may not sound, you know, trendy.
It sounds wonderful.
Sounds good, yeah.
But yeah. That's where we're at. We're really trying to finish the documentary. That's what we're at.
And trying to get the voices out there heard from the documentary. So the thing I would lead into for the next question would be, if you had any organization that you would love to partner with to help you get to your goal, what organization would that be?
Man, I have so many. Let me okay.
What's your top five?
Listen, I'm trying to work with the Obama Foundation. Okay,
come
listen.
On, somebody.
Shout out to them. I'm trying to work with Oprah, Black Girls Rock is a big one. And honestly, I want to do more with research study groups. There is not enough space for diversity, ethical research, and a lot of that is because of our history. We don't trust research. And it's not that we don't trust it. We have been the product of bad research. So let's be very clear, you know. So working with organizations that can really, really focus on giving us the information, the data to exist to help us influence policy, because people don't really understand that policy is influenced by data. And so when they see it or when they hear it, they're like, oh, how did they change that? Well, if you present enough data, you can determine whether or not anything needs to be up there.
Do you feel like data now is kind of outdated, or that data is kind of, or the data came for people that did not look from us, from their perception or whatever propaganda they was trying to promote at the time?
Yeah, I mean, the data hasn't been recollected. Let me give you an example. Economic self-sufficiency, that was defined in the 1950s. They have not defined that again. And the problem with that is that what has changed? Our economic status has changed. So if I utilize the terminology of economic self-sufficiency that was done in 1950, that means you have to have no reliance on the public in whatsoever, meaning that you can't have reliance on your family. You can't have reliance on any type of public transportation. They will consider that as you are not economically self-sufficient. That is not real. You know what I mean? And then now they just defined in 2019, they just defined excessive use of force. So how can you take years of excessive use of force that has happened to our community and you just defined the world in 2019? So if you don't know these things, you start asking yourself, why does these things exist? How is this possible? One, because the research hasn't been updated, or they're just not defining something because somebody, it has gotten so bad. Now they're like, oh, well, now we got to define this, guys, because it's pretty bad. Exactly. Because we don't know what we don't know. And that's not our fault, but we don't know what we don't know. So creating opportunities and putting those systems in our schools, our HBCUs, giving us opportunities to be in public policy, to be in leadership, will help us start changing our community better.
I thought a lot of times the HBCUs are the ones that also kind of push. They kind of on the same mindset that you have, because they do try to promote leaders. However, I don't think that the data has in the past has been respected by our community because the people haven't looked like us. And the people haven't experienced what we experienced. And, you know, so with that being said, if somebody's giving me information and I'm looking at them like, you don't really even understand the idea of affirmative action. You don't really understand the struggle of walking in a place and already having a disadvantage because of my name or because of what I look like. Or because of where I came from, then you're articulating to me what I need to do X, Y, and Z. I can't really receive that from you. So when you talk about Suzanne, the HBCUs, are you talking about not only getting them to look at the information as far as the data, but also getting them to create positions or getting them to prioritize that leaders, Black leaders. Need to be in position and they need to have that type of mindset when they're graduating, not to just work for people, and not to be entrepreneurs, but to be in a position to make financial changes and social changes for our community. Is that right?
We have HBCUs that do that. We have Howard, we have Hampton, we have HBCUs that focus on that and they breed leadership. We just don't have one voice. Right. The data isn't coming from us, right? You know what I mean? You have a lot of Black people at your school, so the numbers should look, or the data should statistically should come from us, and it should be fed to the corporate America, should be fed up, right? And then that information should flow to where people are like, oh, okay, I see it, because now I can trust this organization, this organization, this organization. But every organization and community has their own priorities, and that's you know what I mean? That's their money. Like, I can't mess up on their money. What I can say is, hey, we have to create opportunities where we're focused on that. And I think we're getting there. I just think it's not loud enough because it's not trending.
How do you plan on getting us into a position of one voice? That seems like such a great undertaking. Do you plan on using WIP to really kind of take all of that and say, we're willing to be the microphone for this voice?
Right now, we think the best way of doing it is the way we're doing it with the documentary. And we are going to different locations around the states, and we're collecting information from women, and we're asking them questions about, do you feel heard? Do you feel seen? And we're collecting that data to eventually present that to the world. Now, we hope everybody respects it. We hope everyone sees it and say, I see myself in that. But it is going to be incremental steps. I think, and you're right, because it is a large undertaking. This is huge. How do we get to one voice, one sound? But it takes one person. It only takes one believer. You only need one. You know what I mean? And you may be your own believer, but you only need one. And who's going to tell us no?
Nobody better tell you no right now. I know that.
Nobody.
Right. That's what the great prophet said.
Nobody.
Miss Susan, I want to ask you this. What did God show you during the process of developing all this about your walk and your journey?
Man, that's so deep. So here's the thing, right? God told me that I was called for healing and deliverance. And he told me that years ago. And at first I thought it was going to look like me going and laying hands. I thought I was going to be out here I had my Bible ready. I had, you know, the long skirt. I was ready. I was like, I'm going to go out here and I'm going to do all of this.
It's okay, sister.
Yeah,
we've been
there, so I understand. Yep, come on. Let's follow the story.
Yes, with the stockings and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Not the stockings. So I grew up, a little bit of background to get you to the understanding. I grew up as a Seventh-day Adventist. So, so growing up as Seventh-day Adventist, and then I transitioned over to non-denominational. And in that process, when God told me, hey, I've called you for healing and deliverance, I just didn't understand what that means. I had my own definition that I thought what that meant, and I tried to emulate what I saw. I didn't have success. I did not have success. And most people thought they thought like, man, you're not listening. You're not listening. And then I eventually had to understand something. Christ was called to the sick, the broken, right? So those are the ones that received him. The ones that didn't receive him was the ones he wasn't called to, which eventually end up killing him, right? And God had to show me the ones that are you're called to are going to receive you. And the ones who you're not called to, you're going to have a lot of opposition with them because you're out of position. You know, you're out of place. So I would say my journey took place with him, me understanding my calling, understanding my purpose in him that created these opportunities that you see forth at this point. But what's the root of all of that is not, oh, let me get our voice out there. But the root is how do we heal and deliver our community? That's what the root is. And it starts by getting them the education, starts by getting them to know who their true identity is. That's why I said the narrative is important, because the narrative is part of your identity. Your inheritance is your identity. So when you don't know your purpose and your calling, then you don't know where to go. You're lost. So having that as my foundation, understanding that I'm called for healing and deliverance, that is what this process is for me. And that is what my objective is, or my calling is in the kingdom with this research, with this study, with this woman inclusion project.
I love it.
Can I ask a question? Go ahead. No, I just want, because I'm listening to you talking. When did that moment come for you when you realized that you didn't hear him clearly, that you had your own narrative? And I know all about the long skirts, the stockings, the headpiece, the head coverings, and all that. So when did that moment come to? When did it hit you? Like, hey, this is not the narrative. He chose me for this, but this is the way he want me to go. Because a lot of people feel like it's only one way. There's only one way to do it, but there's many ways to do it. Is the way that God chose you. So when did that moment really hit you? Say, hey, that ain't the way. Is this way, but it's still got the same meaning of what I be doing.
So I was in Iraq when I was serving. I was in Iraq in 2009. And while I was there, and I won't go too deep into it, but I found out, you know, I was pregnant. You know, the night before you leave, you're like, all right.
Yeah. Let me get that.
And then 6 weeks later, you know, here I am in Iraq serving, and I'm wow. And I figured I was pregnant. And while I was walking to the bathroom, Iraqi refuge, she saw me. And when she saw me, she asked me to come over. And when she asked me to come over, she said, hey, I see the glory of God upon your life.
Wow.
Well, I want you to understand, I'm in a foreign country. I'm far away. No one knows me. I'm walking to and fro from the back room, and a woman who is an Iraqi refugee who just turned from Muslim to Christian said, I see the glory of God upon your life. And in that moment, it was like, okay, there's no church out here. There's no building. There's no pastor to come in here. There's no oil. There's no, none of those things exist. And we're talking about Christ in Iraq. There's no walls. There's
come
no
on.
You know what I mean? Something changed in me that day. You know what I'm saying? Like it did something. And from that moment, it was just like, I can sit up here and I can believe that I have to operate in this way, or I can trust how he ordered my steps. And he's been ordering my steps.
That's what's
up. I think that's where a lot of people miss their market, because they're looking for a pulpit. They're looking for a pulpit. In someone's church, once they turn around and it's like, no, your pulpit is your cheer. And once people are coming in and getting their hair done, this is your pulpit. This is what I make. Or your pulpit is on aisle 7 at Walmart or whatever. Like, and we miss it because we're so busy looking for four walls, and the four walls have become hoarders of people versus actually people going, them actually creating disciples that go outside of the four walls and begin to minister and stuff. But we're so used to speaking Christianese to those that are in the four walls versus actually going out. And so I think it's awesome that you actually realize that where he's calling you to is not within brick and mortar, that he's calling you out into the community, that he's calling you to a place where you're able to hear, to be able to get people heard. Because a lot of people,
their healing sometimes comes forth just by being heard. And as you said, a woman heard is a woman believed. And so a lot of us, we never have been heard. And so in your research that you're doing, you're giving women that never had a voice before that opportunity to sit at the table and actually get their voice heard. And it starts their healing transition. And we forget that because we're looking for some cookie cutter way, or it has to be this way. God is calling me as an apostle. He's calling me as a prophet. He's calling me as a pastor. He's calling you probably to pastor some youth as a football coach or as a basketball coach, a volleyball coach. And we forget that. And so, but we're looking for a church congregation once he's calling you to a football team.
Yeah.
Pastor Jay.
Thank you, Prophetess Tish. One thing I would just say as an overall, and I keep hearing this, so I got to ask it. What was one fear that you had to let go during this process?
I wasn't enough.
Mm. Can you elaborate?
I don't look like where I come from, but my background was, you know, I come from extreme poverty. You know, I come from a single parent. I come from all the check marks that tells you you shouldn't be successful. So when I stepped into a room, and then I've had a severe speech impediment. So it's always funny when people be like, you speak so well. I'm like, man, it's practice. I came from a place of, and trust me when I say this, because I think when people say that, they want claps or affirmation. No, I legit didn't think I was enough. And so I would wrestle back and forth with God, like, you sure? Like, you know, there's some more qualified people. There's
come on, Moses.
There's people that, you know, are beautiful, are eloquent. There's people that look like this, look like that. And I didn't think I was enough. And I'm not going to be honest. I'm be honest with you. I still struggle with that. Sometimes I still struggle with, should I speak? Am I the right person to be speaking? But that's ego. And that's not me having complete faith in him. It doesn't matter what I look like. It doesn't matter. That's just the way of the enemy to get you to not speak. That's just another way to say his voice don't matter. But if it really is about God, you will push past those things. But you got to be healed first from your own insecurities, your own self-doubts before you can go out there.
Teach, lady. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry because I've been talking about that for a minute. And it's just because of my own journey and what I've been dealing with. You got to first and foremost, forgive yourself for any doubt you've had about yourself. Forgive yourself for anything you've done to people, any self-sabotage you've done. You got to forgive yourself and then walk in forgiveness and walk in true freedom. And when you do that, you can walk in love. You can really fulfill the assignments. And that's a lot of us deal with that. So I'm very, like, kudos to you, love. You got this. You are meant to do what God has chose you to do. Because I start preaching, so let me be quiet. I love you guys.
Well, between you and Prophetess, it's going to be some preaching radio shows around here. What you think, Pastor Jalon?
I think so, too. But I have to get this off me. God is telling me that you will see the evidence to validate why you're there. And because a lot of times God is saying to me that you doubt because you don't see the fruition of it yet. So God is going to visually show you why you are there to give you the evidence of why you are in the room. And then for me, because that was God, I'm going to get off that. For me, I'm going to tell you, I was in those shoes when I did my first book. Even though technically I had my training wheels because Prophetess Tish said you're going to write in this anthology. And I was like, excuse me, I'm not a writer, ma'am. You're not going to punk me on my own show telling me that I'm going to write in your anthology. And then I finally conquered a fear because my fear in my Creole Tea Remedy book was that I was scared of repercussion of herbalists. A lot of herbalists that we know in life, we know what happens to them. I don't got to elaborate to it. But God kept showing me what happened in COVID and why I started writing in the first place. And with that, he showed me the because the reason why I wrote this book, and y'all gonna get why I'm saying this. During COVID, a man came in holding his child, like emergency room, looking for medicine for his daughter. The aisles were empty. We ain't had no toilet paper, and we didn't have no medicine in the aisles either. And I had to remember what Big Mama used to say. Well, man, you just get you some teas and get you some remedies and put it together in a pot. You drink it. That's healing properties right there. So when I went to the tea aisle, all the teas were there. I mean, it was more teas than what you can have. And I remember giving him some teas so that he could be able to give it to his daughter because there was no medicine. I saw how freaked out he was. And I had to remember my why I wrote, because I didn't want no father, no mother to go through that and think that they have nothing because there's no medicine. So sometimes God has to remind you of your why. And he and you know your why quite well. And sometimes he got to just bring it back like an old movie. You're like, okay, God, I got you. You ain't got to replay the whole thing. I got you. Fast forward a little bit. So I just want to encourage you that a lot of times most people that have made it and has been put in position and platform never feel like they deserve to be there in the first place.
Right.
So the devil will tell you a lie and say that you're the only one who feel this way. And I could tell you right now, there's some people on platforms that feel the exact same way of what you're talking about.
So I hope just love that. I love that, because every time people say that, you be like, you're so beautiful. You sitting over there with that beautiful skin and high cheekbones. I'm like, what's wrong with her? And right? Just beautiful. And everybody who it seems like, I just love how God uses people that are humble, you know, and then, you know, he elevates those that are humble. And he even says that in his words. And he that is, you know, that's haughty, he go ahead and cause them to have humility. But that's how God will use you. And that's how what you're doing, you know, you stay true to the purpose that God have given to you, because it's not about, I have all this confidence in my looks, or I have all this confidence in my education and the way I speak. You're training yourself and you're becoming what God have called you to. But while you're being healed in certain things, and why God is giving you confidence in certain things, you're still ministering and doing the purpose God called you to do, even though you are, you know, you may deal with those things. And to me, those have been the most beautiful people to watch. You just really are drawn to them. Not that we see what you see or know what you know, but you just see us from a very real, genuine, pure place. And you're like, this is beautiful. I'm going to go ahead and get my donation, girl. Go on and give me my, I'm going to go ahead and do something for them. So, I mean, you know, I think that's when God uses you the most, is when you don't. Almost everyone who has any testimony in God, they'll have the testimony that I didn't feel like I was qualified. I didn't feel like I was good enough. And that's not a cliche. Really, you really do feel that way. And you really are a lot harder on yourself than what people see you in one light, and you got a whole nother mindset and a whole nother thing going on. And they have no idea. All they see is the beauty and glory of God on you. All they see is you radiate and you are in a position of purpose. And they're like, that's a beautiful thing. So I'm excited for you, and I'd be praying for you that you just keep being elevated in the things of God, and that God would send you the right support, the right partnerships, and the right finances.
How can people connect and be a part of Women Inclusion Project? Like, if they want to donate, or if they want to actually, you know, just be a part or start a donation in their own area, if they want to, you know, go to one of the schools, or how is it that people can actually be a part of Women Inclusion Project?
The biggest thing is follow us on Instagram, because that's where we're going to be pushing what we're trying to do. And then the other part is go to the website, thewomaninclusionproject.org, donate that way. And we're doing a drive for feminine care products. One out of five girls, middle school, elementary, young ladies are starting their cycles anywhere from 8 years old and up and being consistent. So we're trying to donate feminine care products to the schools. And I'm talking about cotton 100% cotton, pesticide free, not those products that are linked to cervical cancer or fibroids. So we have a, and we have that on our website as well. It has Whip Cares, it has Hearts, where you can look and see exactly what we're trying to do. Our address is there and you can donate, because that's going to be in August. When we start taking this to the schools, because as you guys know, back in the day, you put a quarter in and then you get your product. So they don't necessarily have those things anymore. And in the DC schools, they're not state funded. So it's important for us to bring funds and bring things within the schools there. So follow us, go to the website. And if you see us when we're having, when we're having our routine, hey, this is what we're trying to do, just give. Just give.
I need to bring you down here to Duval.
I just followed everybody. Make sure you go.
I on. Know that's what I'm going to do.
I just followed and share it and share it on, and share it onto your stories. They're definitely doing. Is it womeninclusive.org? That's when Ashley, we're gonna have. We have someone that's watching that's asking the question. So I think
Miss Angela,
it's the womeninclusionproject.org.
Amen. Definitely wanted to get that information out there. Good way of calling it all the way home, Prophetess Tish. Go ahead, Miss Marvette.
I was going to say, so what's the your name on Instagram again?
I'm sorry, you broke up. I'm sorry.
Instagram.
Oh, at WIP, WIP underscore 7.
Got it. Okay.
Amen. And I want to go ahead and first say, because it's about that time, thank you, Miss Suzette, for coming on and remembering, because Ashley, when we met in Atlanta, I remember telling you about it. But then I'll be testing people, because people be like, hey, I'll be like, yeah, you come on the show. Oh, for real? Okay, I'll go on the show. And I'll be like, let's see if they follow up. And you followed up. Praise God. So I definitely appreciate you for coming on and admire the great things that you're doing in your nonprofit and in the great things that you're doing. When I say she is goal oriented, I mean, I'm seeing her at a conference. I got snapped at a few times, but it's okay. You see, she's detailed. She's really serious and she's really passionate about what she does. And she really puts her 100% in anything that she does. So definitely go check out her nonprofit. She's doing some great things for the young ladies and the women out there in the community. And if we could go back to the community, just think how great it would be and what an impact we could make. So one thing that I want everybody to do is make sure you go follow her, make sure that you go support. You saw the ways that you could be able to join, add, help, however, bring to your city. If you know somebody that has a great organization that they could partner, push them her way so that we could just make this a greater organization. Because wouldn't it be great if us Black folks could finally come together instead of being like, well, I don't like her little nonprofit, so I'm going to go make my own little nonprofit. No, what about you go support her nonprofit and we just make it be a supportive collective?
Right.
Because that's
why we have a church on every corner.
There is that is reason why there's 50,000 churches. Actually, Simi said something equivalent to that. She said, if the little churches realize that they ain't going to get no bigger and they could finally dissolve into one bigger church, how much of an impact they would really be. And that never left me. She told me that years ago. And I said, you know what?
I heard you say that a long time ago.
And so you go down one street and it's like 15 churches.
And just think if those 15 churches came into one. But no. So just, and that's the same thing with nonprofits and organizations and people's businesses. If we could support the businesses that we know, we support a lot of people we don't know. Let's start supporting the people that we know is actually out there doing the great things. Because when you support somebody you don't know, they don't care about your support. They actually expect it. But when you know somebody that's doing great things, they actually appreciate you supporting them. So definitely go out there and support and help out your local nonprofit friend, Miss Suzanne. She's out here doing great things in the DMV area. Awesome. With that, everybody, it's Miss Suzanne, and it's about that time where semi sleepy.
Don't call me out. I'm trying not to look cross-eyed.
So
you don't eat dinner.
You know, she ate it at like 4:30. Amen. Yeah. So with that, make sure you come out and check us out in person next week at the Stella Awards All-Star Game. Say, oh, you're from Anointed Radio. Hey, I just wanted to come out and say hi. If you have a prayer request, make sure that you go and inbox us at Anointed Radio. And if you did not know, we are nominated for three categories for the Spin Awards, which will be in Atlanta, Georgia. So make sure that you go out and you share, you vote, you tell your mama and them, and like Marvette say, your cousin on your daddy's side, all about the Anointed Radio nominations, where we are nominated for Best Podcasters for the Anointed Radio team, Best Internet Radio, and Best Podcast, Gospel Podcast, even though we know we're more than that. But guess what? That's part of the family, too. So definitely check that out. And make sure that you follow us on all social media platforms, except Twitter, because we don't have one anymore. And what else are we on there? Tidal. Check us out on the... We not on Tidal. We ain't on anything with T's now, I see, too. So we're not on Twitter either. So... check us out on all of our podcast platforms, where you can check us out on everything but like what she said, Tidal. So where you can check us on iHeartRadio, all those things. You can check us on TV. If you have a Roku TV, go ahead and go to the Anointed Radio app on the Roku TV. You can watch us on TV. And make sure you download the Anointed Radio app, 24-hour gospel all day, every day. Next year, if you did not know, all cars with antennas are going away. So if you are going to miss your gospel station, go ahead and just substitute it for Anointed Radio, because we're playing right now, and we're going to play in 2024 too, and it'll be all day, every day in your car on CarPlay or Android. If you have Android, we pray for you. Amen. With that, we just want to say thank you, Miss Suzanne, for coming on to the show. We appreciate you for coming and telling us everything about your mission and all the great things that you're doing. Is there any last words that you would like to say to the audience before we go off?
Yeah, one, I just want to say thank you guys so much for having me. It's been a blessing. I have enjoyed you guys immensely. It is just so fun, and y'all energy is beautiful. Your spirit is beautiful. I appreciate you. And I Tish, I love you. Thank you for extending. Jay, I love you. And the one thing I leave everybody with is very important. This is very key to success, is make sure that as you build your community, that the people on your team reflect God and reflect your value system.
Amen. That was deep. Well, guess what, y'all? We'll see y'all. What do I usually say? Next week. Bye, y'all.